Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another year of Caravan of Garbage.
Whoa, we're back.
Whoa.
2024 energy.
We're recording this right at the end of 2023.
Oh, Mason,
we're faking having New Year's energy. But FYI, I wouldn't have any because I worked the whole way through the New Year's. I'm tired now. I was tired then.
I'm going to put all this in the extended one to see if people notice.
Good, you know? Great, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
But as far as the YouTube viewers know, whoa, we're back. Whoa. 2024, baby, yeah.
Better than ever. Rested well.
That's right.
I didn't go on a holiday and then it was, you know, you're with your kids. It's not that.
It's not that restful.
It's not really a holiday.
But you love them.
I do love them, Mason. Kids.
You wouldn't chuck them in a bin.
I definitely wouldn't.
Mm. You wouldn't chuck them in a backpack and then web them to a bin, would you?
Unlikely.
Mm.
Anyway, so we thought we'd kick things off, seeing as Spum. You know, it's moving into gear this year, isn't it?
Do we have to explain what Spum is?
Yes.
The Sony Pictures universe of Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we call it Spum. They call it something else.
Yeah.
It may not even exist by the time this video comes out. They may have cancelled it all. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But Madam Web is coming out.
Yep.
What else is coming out? We got
Kraven the Hunter.
Kraven the Hunter. Maybe another Venom movie.
Venom 3.
Wow.
So we thought, seeing as we've done the Sam Raimi Spider-Man trilogy and we've done the Mark Webb
Amazing Spider-Man duology.
I was going to say
duopoly.
It was supposed to be a trilogy.
Oh,
then they just went, we can't.
Yeah, look, we did basically three movies worth of stuff in that last one. So
why don't we circle back to the John Watts Spider-Man movies?
Ooh.
But how did we get here?
This room I walked in.
No, how did we get to Spider-Man movies? These ones in
what
particular.
What do you mean?
Okay. First of all, leave a like.
Okay. Then we'll reveal the secrets.
How did we get here in terms of, like, licensing? Some of this we've covered, so I'm just going to quickly go through it, all right?
Please do.
So in 1998, the Wall Street Journal reported that Marvel proposed to sell their film rights to nearly its entire roster, so Iron Man, Black Panther, Thor, for $25 million to Sony.
Okay.
And Sony went, we don't give a shit. We'll take Spider-Man for $7 million. And that's it.
And this back in the day, this is the era where Marvel was going bankrupt every other week. And
yeah.
So they're like, we'll take that deal. We'll mm-hmm. take whatever terrible deal any film studio is offering.
Now, it's easy in hindsight to say, sure, this franchise is worth now X number of billion dollars.
Mm.
But Sony couldn't have built this anyway. If they had all of these properties?
The MCU, no, absolutely not, no.
Not a chance.
No. I mean, it would have been nice to see Tom Cruise as Iron Man with like a big motorcycle crash helmet kind
sure.
of vibe, you know, just a weird bulky look.
Oh yeah.
Unpleasant.
Absolutely.
You know?
So we got the Sam Raimi trilogy and then they rebooted with the Mark Webb duopoly and Marvel came to them and proposed an idea.
Let's get married.
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Let's have a civil ceremony. Nothing religious.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure.
This won't be recognized under the eyes of God. So they said, why don't we have Spider-Man appear in several MCU films, right? The Oscorp Tower was even going to be the one from the Mark Webb movies in the Avengers movie originally, right?
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
end up happening.
It was them and the Avengers Tower. They were going to throw spitballs at each other.
That's right.
Hey, get out of my block. Get out of here.
So this was rejected by Sony. They said, no, thank you. We're actually killing Spider-Man right now.
Yeah,
killing it with Spider-Man, sorry.
Oh, sure.
Bit of a slip of the tongue there, Mason. Mm. Anyway, they killed Spider-Man with The Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Sony hack happened. A bunch of stuff was released about how they were doing all these spin-off movies, including an Aunt May prequel spy movie.
That's right.
Basically all
sexy Aunt May spy.
Yeah. Basically all the stuff that they're doing now.
Yeah, the leftover stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, there's been a lot of years and a lot of people have made fun of all this stuff, but it's all we have left. So
pretty much.
Let's just do it, I guess.
So a new deal was formed where Marvel would collect 5% of the gross of all the MCU-produced Spider-Man films.
Only 5%?
Well, that was the original deal that changed again a few years back. And in return, Disney and Marvel Studios would be allowed to use Spider-Man in their films. But also, this is a great deal for Marvel in general because Marvel already have the rights to merch and, you know, they can use him in animated series and all of that. It's basically Sony only have the live-action film and maybe some television distribution rights.
Okay, right? Sure.
And the original contract was for 5 movies. It was Captain America Civil War, which we'll come back to at some point. This movie we're looking at today, Infinity War, Endgame, Spider-Man Far From Home.
I see.
And that's how we got little boy Tom Holland Spider-Man. Youngest Spider-Man who we've ever seen on screen, an actual teenager at time of casting.
That's right.
If you can believe such a thing.
He's since become a big real man.
He's Nathan Drake now. He's a big real man.
He's a big real man wearing with a Henley. You know, you can't be a little boy in a Henley.
Yeah, they won't let you.
You burst out of the Henley. Yeah. I was going to say biceps. They're in the wrong bit. Your pecs.
Chest seps.
Your chest seps bursting out there.
Yeah. Anyway, I think Tom Holland is a really good Peter Parker / Spider-Man.
I agree.
One of the things that this movie does really well is that it replicates the youthful energy of a high school by using actual teenagers in the school.
That's right.
They went out of their way to go, let's base this on kind of a John Hughes 1980s high school kind of dynamic.
A breakfast club.
Yeah.
A 16 Candles.
Exactly. Mm. Another one, probably.
That's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Same vibe. And that's kind of the thing that Marvel aims for or says that they're doing. They're like, the Winter Soldier is like our espionage one.
Yeah.
The Skrull Invasion one, that's like our espionage one.
That's right.
Another one is like our espionage one.
Yeah. They're going hardcore on the espionage ones, I tell you.
They certainly are.
And it always works.
It always worked every time. But how do you feel about Tom Holland in this role and just the vibe of this in general?
It's a good vibe. I'm liking him in this. I think this is maybe the... I think the first two, we'll get to the other two in subsequent weeks, but I think the first two have like the strongest concept. Let's make it like that high school kind of teen comedy vibe. We get all the markers of the teen comedy vibe. You know, we've got he has to go to a party and, you know, nobody thinks he's cool but he's got to prove himself, but all the circumstances, you know, conspire against him so he can't show up and be cool as Spider-Man at the party. And, you know, and he's got a bully who in this instance... It's Tony Revolori, who most people might know from the Wes Anderson
TV series Willow.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You know that.
Terrific. You know, and that's a canny idea to make this version of Flash Thompson kind of just a more of a psychological bully.
Yeah.
Because at this point, this version of Spider-Man, he's had a full-on fist fight with Captain America.
Yeah.
So there's no high school bully that could stand up to him physically, like not even...
No.
Like, not even like Flash Thompson in the first movie, you know, kind of thing.
Just
paced him.
Yeah. So, yeah, that idea that, you know, he can wear him down by calling a name. The idea that they could... Fuck me. Mason.
It's 2023. It's whatever year it is.
Yeah, that idea that he could kind of wear him down psychologically is interesting. Yeah, I like that a lot. And maybe he'll become a version of Venom or something at some point, do you think? I'd say probably not.
No, probably not.
Yeah. I like him, though. I think he's good. Now, there's been criticisms of this movie in that, well, I think this trilogy in general, that this isn't so much Spider-Man as it is Iron Boy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and I can't really argue with that. It's just a different take, you know?
Yeah, but I think, again, we'll talk about it in the subsequent movies, you know, at least in the next one, it's Spider-Man on his own. In the comic books, it doesn't really matter, you know, where the villains come from. It's just a guy who wants to rob banks. He also has built a flight suit or whatever. It's really irrelevant because that's the kind of the two-dimensional world they live in. And obviously...
But this is the movie. You can't do
movie.
That.
This is the MCU. Three-dimensional, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe you're in D-Box. Maybe you're in Smell-O-Vision. I don't know. I don't know where you go to your freaky movies.
What do those webs smell like?
That's exactly right.
Wet.
So in this universe, you need to build a reason why this guy would be a high-tech costume villain kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I enjoy this guy's backstory, you know? And I, you know, sure he's putting high-tech deadly weapons onto the streets, but also I agree with him.
Yeah, he's right.
He's right. He's a man who worked hard, started his own business, and then a bigger fish just showed up and just took everything he had. This is mine. So I understand his grievances and I'm on his side.
Yeah.
But the problem there is because he's so intrinsically tied to Iron Man, It's just Spider-Man, in this instance, fighting an Iron Man villain that Iron Man couldn't be bothered fighting.
Yeah, he's not big enough to be on his radar. Yeah,
there's no point in this where it's like, well, I cannot help you. I'm so busy. Because Iron Man can operate everything via remote control.
Yep.
He's got those ferry holder together rockets that presumably have other purposes. Couldn't he just put, like, one of his Iron Man drones, couldn't he just get Friday to pilot one, show up at his headquarters and blow him up?
Yep.
You know, extrajudicially, just because he's a rich guy and he can get away with it.
Yeah, he can do it, yeah.
But instead, he's just like, nah, you handle this.
Yeah. What I love about this is that Tony Stark is just, he's such a dog. And we talked about this when we covered the Iron Man trilogy. This isn't me saying, oh, they wrote this character wrong. He's accidentally terrible. I just think he's terrible.
Uh-huh.
He's the worst mentor. Oh, the suit's great, by the way. I love this Iron Man suit in this. And just the idea that, you know, he should have been keeping Peter Parker in the loop. Because Peter Parker's going to him and going, look, this guy's selling all these weapons. I'm pretty sure I know who it is. He's got to be at the ferry at this time. And
one text back.
I've got it.
I contacted the FBI. Don't worry about it. I've looked at the weapons they have, and I reckon if one of them got dinged accidentally, it would cut the ferry in half. So maybe leave it. Also, you're Spider-Man, and the ferry's in the middle of the water.
Yeah.
How are you going to... I can fly, and I've got those ferry holder together rockets. So
exactly. And then he gives him an absolute kind of drilling, and he goes, I was the only one that believed in you, which is an insane thing to say to a 15-year-old child. Also, you involved him in this. You brought him in. You're the only one who believed in it because you thought bringing a 15-year-old to a German airport to beat up Captain America was a good idea.
Uh-huh.
And the idea that, look, I'm going to take this suit off you because if you're nothing without the suit, then you shouldn't have it. That's you also. I know Iron Man 3 makes a point of being like, oh, he's still, you know, he can do things without the suit. But not really. He couldn't beat Thanos without a suit, could
he? Absolutely not, no.
He couldn't even beat Whiplash without a suit.
That's right.
And he's Russian and exposed.
That's right.
How do you feel about the Spider-Man suit, though?
I love it.
Bit slick? Because they kind of slick it over with some CGI-ms?
I mean, look, my nitpicks are minor.
Yeah.
I think, you know, having you know, in the last couple of years, rewatched the Raimi Spider-Man movies, that suit sort of still reigns supreme to me. I like this version. Some of the nitpicks, it looks a little too high-tech for me.
Yeah.
But Iron Man influence. I don't like the fact that there's blue and black in the suit. Pick one.
Yeah.
I think blue. Probably should be blue.
Yeah. I think also the idea that he has all these gadgets from the get-go, it's kind of too much, and that's kind of part of this story as well. And in the comics, he does have all these gadgets, but it takes him 60 years to get there.
That's right.
And it's just at the start, it's like you've got a drone and an intimidation thing and, I don't know, like a holograph laser machine and everything else, yeah.
Also, I think they didn't intend for this to happen, I don't think. But, you know, obviously the idea is he's overwhelmed by all the stuff and he doesn't really need the stuff. He's just, you know, it's just Tony Stark overcompensating, filling everything with gadgets. And I think, you know.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, and the idea by the end is, well, he doesn't need all that stuff. And I think, you know, the assumption, I think, going into the assumption at the end when he receives a new version of that suit, I left the theater thinking, oh, well, this is just a plain Spider-Man suit. It's not filled with gadgets. It's just a regular suit.
So that's that's not even his original suit that he was given? Is that an upgraded one, do you think?
No, I think that's the original suit.
Okay, right.
Oh, yeah, but I think it sort of set the precedent that Spider-Man's suit is filled with gimmicks and gadgets and what have you. So when we went into Infinity War, Endgame, etc., it's still insanely filled with gadgets. And then it's kind of like, well, that sort of takes away from...
Yeah.
The idea that he's just a guy on his own, a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, you know what I mean?
And we'll circle back around to this when we talk about the third one. But yeah, I think that is going to be the direction they're going in moving forward.
Unless they got toys to sell.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have that, would they?
No, I don't think so.
No. We're being kind of negative, but I like this. I really enjoy it. This is a really fun...
It might be the best of the three.
Yeah, I like all the school dynamics.
Yep.
I like all the school weirdos, just the background weirdos.
Chess.
The chess guys, the academic decathlon guys, all the weirdos.
I enjoy Zendaya just being in most scenes in the background doing weird stuff.
James, when do you think Tom Holland and Zendaya fell in love for the first time?
Do you think
it was this movie? I think it was subsequent movies.
I think it was probably on the set of Uncharted. That's when they really fell in love, because he was a man.
Oh, yeah. She saw him bursting out of the Henley.
I don't know. I haven't kept track of them.
No, neither have I.
But good luck to them. God bless them.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think also Michael Keaton is just really terrific in this.
I agree, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love this version of the Vulture being a terrifying metal nightmare. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the Spider-Man villains the most that aren't just him.
Yes.
Like a variation on. And yeah, Venom, Carnage, whatever. But an idea that... this thing, whatever it is, and I feel the same about Doc Ock, it can counter all the things that he does in a way that's, you know, he's not entirely used to. Mm-hmm. He can't fight a giant flying bird, man. That's difficult and weird. I mean, he does.
He does, it's true.
But it takes him a few goes, you know?
That's right, exactly. And what I like about this is there is that personal animus. You know, people are always going to be like, when is Tom Holland Spider-Man going to fight Tom Hardy Venom? It doesn't matter because they've got no connection whatsoever. Yeah. Whereas in the comic books, Venom's entire origin and his entire reason for being is an intense hatred of Spider-Man because of their shared history. Whereas if they ever appear in a movie together, they'll have to make something up, I guess.
Yeah.
But in this, it's like these two have a complicated relationship. Spider-Man is constantly foiling the Vulture's schemes, and so the Vulture is furious about that, but he also has, you know, a family that he loves, and that's why he's doing it. He's not just doing it for like cackling villainous reasons. But then Spider-Man saves his daughter's life, and he learns, and then he's like, "Well, I'll give you one chance to walk away." I'm like, "That's interesting. That's good stuff."
It's complicated.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a shame now that he's trapped in a parallel universe
with Morbius,
an infinite distance from the family that he loves, and he'll do anything for. And he's just like, well, better form a super villain team, I guess, of good guys. I don't know. My family can sort themselves out, I guess. I don't know.
And I guess he built the Vulture suit over there again, didn't he?
Maybe.
Or there was a Vulture there already and he just took it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He found it in the vault.
He found it in the Oscorp vault of origins.
Yeah. That's
you remember that?
Yeah, I suspect, and they'll probably mention this at some point, maybe even with Madame Web, that all of that stuff might be in the Mark Webb Spider-Man universe. Yeah. They could just be like, this is Andrew Garfield's problem.
Sure. The actor Andrew Garfield. Yeah.
So he has to
I'm not equipped to deal with this. I'm British.
Just make him field questions about the Morbius universe for the rest of his life.
Oh, I had a note here about the Spider-Man suit
that I
didn't write down, that I didn't say earlier. Final note about the suit, I wish it stayed baggy all the time.
Yeah, just you know, when a
he
big put, loose.
He puts it in. He puts it on in the alley and he pushes the button and it shrink wraps him.
Yeah.
Just have it not work.
Yeah.
It's got to fight all the villains baggy. I think that'd be fun.
Fighting them baggy, yeah. Mm-hmm. The action sequences I enjoy in this, we mentioned the ferry, the punch up that they have at the end. I think the swinging isn't great. I think that's also to do with the locations. It's not a big inner city situation. You
sure,
know, you're not getting those big New York skyscraper kind of moments.
But we did get a moment which I really enjoyed, which is the moment where he has to navigate his way through the suburbs. I thought that was a fun little, you know, and I think that also speaks to the kind of the John Hughesness of it, just like these kind of comfortable little cozy suburbs. Mm. And how does we finally learn how a Spider-Man navigates through those, which is he has to just do a lot of running because there's nothing
crashing
to
through fences.
That's a bit of fun, right?
Yeah, no, it is. It's very, and you actually see this moment in this Ferris Bueller running home to his, you know, after to his family or whatever going on.
But I was going to say also, you know, what we do get, I think, is we get moments that are spectacular. You know, there's the part where he kind of leaps off. Is it the Washington Monument? He leaps off the monument. We see it from all the great angles and et cetera. But I think the problem with this movie and maybe a lot of modern Marvel movies is that it's sort of workmanlike direction.
Yeah.
It's like we need a couple of spectacular moments for the trailer.
Just get us
that
there.
Was in the trailer, just to get us there.
Yeah.
And the rest can be just fine, really, you know?
Absolutely.
We don't have time. We don't have time. We've got to film most of this and then we've got to give it to the VFX guys.
Yeah.
They can figure it out.
Exactly. Just a few fun little cameos or appearances that I enjoy. Hannibal Buress is great. A lot of fun. Where he's like Captain America. I think he's a war criminal now, but I guess we're still using this VHS or whatever. Martin Starr as Rober Harrington.
Is that his name?
Yep. He returns from The Incredible Hulk.
Same
character. Jennifer Connelly, who's married to Paul Bettany, the voice of Jarvis, is the voice of Spider-Man's suit in this.
Oh.
There you go. So maybe those AIs can get married. No, they can't. He's already married.
Wow.
Jarvis is already married.
Wow.
Donald Glover, great. Mm-hmm. He turns up in another universe.
A setup to maybe make him the Prowler, except not really, who knows?
Well, he
who
is knows at this point? In the Spider-Verse universe, if it's the same guy. And of course, Chris Evans is mentioned in his fun little cameos.
Yes.
So should we do some trivia?
Let's do some trivia.
Specifically, Spider-Man trivia coming. That's what we're calling it.
Great.
That's what you said you wanted to call it.
I know.
And that's what we're going to call it.
Great. Because it sounds a bit weird and rude.
It does. So, for the Lego Death Star that they're building, they say that it has 3,803 pieces, which is correct. Uh-huh. But the Emperor figure that they have is from the 2016 version, and the 3,803-piece version is from the 2008 version of the Death Star.
Now, that's some trivia.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question I have for you. In MCU Spider-Man's first appearance, in Captain America Civil War, he lassos Ant-Man, AT-AT walkers on Hoth style.
Yeah.
And he says he saw it in some old movie.
Mm.
And he doesn't really remember, right? But in this movie, he's very excited for Star Wars Lego Death Star. So in the subsequent, like, couple of years, did he get really into Star Wars and learn everything about Star Wars? Was Star Wars not hugely popular in the MCU on account of all the superheroes taking the limelight? And maybe it's had a resurgence?
Maybe, yeah.
Since then, maybe?
Maybe what I think happened is, it's only a few months in between, by the way.
Or do you think it's maybe that Disney bought Marvel and they also own Star Wars and they wanted a little synergy?
I don't think it's that.
Oh, okay.
I think that maybe he hasn't seen Empire Strikes Back because this is the Return of the Jedi Death Star. So, that's
so he's only seen Return of the Jedi, and he's so jazzed. Yeah. Wow.
Kenneth Choi, who plays Principal Morita, also played the Howling Commando Jim Morita in Captain America the First Avenger. You can actually see the photo of that Howling Commando member on his desk because it's his grandson.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He's the grandson, not the other way around. According to James Gunn, Stan Lee's cameo in this film was one of the four Lee cameos filmed in one day alongside his appearance in Doctor Strange, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2, and another one.
Huh.
Maybe a Thor movie, I don't know. And Gwyneth Paltrow, who appears in this movie, she thought that she was shooting a scene for the Avengers, and it wasn't until a few years later that she found out that she was in this film. I don't know if you've seen that interview.
I have, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think she knows if she's in any of these movies, honestly.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy that, where people go and they ask her, like, what do you think of this? And she's like, yeah. Did I? What is it? Should I?
But this was right in that era where they were doing so many of these.
And they were
everybody had to do a cameo in everybody else's movie.
And they were separated during Civil War and now they're not. Mm. Like, it was a complicated time to be Gwyneth Paltrow.
That's right. Probably one of them was dating the AI in the other guy's suit or something.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah. Anyways, in terms of box office, on a budget of $175 million, it made $880 million. This was a return to form. This is what Sony was looking for in a Spider-Man movie. And by Jove, did they get it.
By Jove.
I mean,
we're bringing back By Jove, are we?
We're bringing it back. It's 2024, Mason. Yeah, I think obviously Civil War helped. But yeah, people were interested in Spider-Man again. And, you know, these movies, box office-wise, continue to do well over the next few years. Because, of course, we are going to be coming back next week to talk about Spider-Man big Euro boy.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, it's Euro disco time for Spider-Man.
If you do want to see that early, you can actually head over to bigsandwich.co. That's like our private Patreon, isn't it, Mason?
Yes.
It's true.
2024, it's true.
It's got early videos. We've got movie commentaries. We do video game Let's Plays. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that actually comes out there early on Sunday as opposed to Monday. But if you do want to check out that podcast, it's got its own YouTube channel, Spotify, Apple, all of those things.
That's right. I had a couple of thoughts about the cast.
Let's talk about the cast. I'll put it in earlier.
Put it in earlier.
Or now, whatever.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I thought Laura Harrier was great as Liz Allen. Thought she did a great job.
Yep.
Marissa Tomei, obviously. Yuck, Aunt May. An absolutely yuck, Aunt May. Disgusting.
What were they thinking?
Yuck. Ugh. I mean, we know Aunt May's supposed to be an old hag.
Yeah.
But you didn't have to go as far as you did.
You don't need to lean into it this hard.
God. And Jacob Batalon as the man in the chair.
Oh, he's fun.
The problem with this is he's Ned, obviously.
Yeah.
What they've done is they've just taken Miles Morales' best friend, Yankee.
Yes.
From the Ultimate Spider-Man universe.
They Yankeed him.
They Yankeed him into this. They gave Yankee a Yankee and they put him into this, which means that when Miles Morales inevitably makes his debut as Spider-Man in this universe, if that is going to happen before the reboot, who knows?
Mm.
They're going to need to give him a new best friend?
Oh, yeah.
Who's it going to be?
Ned Leeds again.
Great.
I'm back in school.
That's great, yeah.
Billy Madison style.
That's great,
yeah.
Yeah. Or every universe has a Ned.
Yeah.
Parallel universe Neds.
Do you think they're going to do parallel universe Miles Morales, or they're just going to have him here? Because he's mentioned in this in passing.
That's true, yeah. I think they're probably just going to put him in. I think
it's just simpler.
Yeah, it's simpler, and I think maybe the world has had its fill of multiversal.
You ain't wrong, brother.
Adventures.
Exactly.
We're tired of it's 2024. We're tired of the multiverse. Just give us one universe to worry about, will you?
Exactly.
God. Oh, and Jon Favreau.
Of course.
He's great.
Just having a good time.
He's having a good time. Again, you know, maybe he should pass along more of those messages to Tony Stark, but he's fun.
He's busy.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got to move all of Thor's stuff or whatever he's doing. Yeah.
He's angry and he's useless, and I love that about him.
Yeah, me too. Anyways, thank you so much for watching. Thank you to Ben and Lawrence for coming back for another year. They didn't want to.
They swore they wouldn't. But then we said, how about we make these edits really difficult?
Yeah.
And they said, good, a challenge. That's what we love.
How could you turn down an offer like that?
That's right.
All right, thanks, everybody.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.